And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Great to be with you again right here on Power of Prophecy, being broadcast around the world on Worldwide Christian Radio out of Nashville, Tennessee. Our studio is in Austin, Texas, here at the ministry offices. And, of course, we're heard on shortwave and our powerofprophecy.com website 24/7. That means 7 days a week you can hear this week's program. Glad to be with you. Today we're going to talk about something I think is of interest to all of us. It better be, because we're stuck with it. The 2010 elections. They're over. The 2010 elections ended up with 65 or so. You know, right now they're still battling and counting ballots and such in various races for the House of Representatives and even the Senate. But it looks like the Republican Party has won a huge victory with the help of the Tea Party folks. And they've gotten at least, possibly 65, 68, 70 seats in the House of Representatives, plus maybe six or seven senators. So there's going to be sort of gridlock, perhaps, in Washington, D.C., which is not a bad thing. A stalemate, possibly, with Barack Obama, a Democrat, a liberal Democrat, a socialist, a communist, at the White House. And meanwhile, the Senate will still be run by the Democrats, but Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, won't have as much power as he had before. And in the House, well, Queen Nancy has left the throne for at least 2 years. I suspect a lot longer than that. First Speaker of the House, well, she's gone. She's going to be now. She wants to be the House Minority Leader. Meanwhile, we have Congressman Boehner, B-O-E-H-N-E-R, Boehner, and he's going to be the new Republican head of the House of Representatives, of course. He will be the Speaker of the House, Mr. Boehner. Quite an interesting gentleman. Now, I'd like to talk to you all about these things, because I think some very fascinating changes are going to be occurring in our lives, and I'd like us to discuss it. You know, we're just friends, you and I. That's why I always address you as hello, friend. And I think as friends, we can talk about this, and maybe I'll reveal a few things that you hadn't thought about. I always profit from the letters to the ministry, emails, letters. I appreciate what you say, and we'll see if we're not with the same like-mindedness, okay? In other words, we have the same mindset as such. Not that you're as crazy or as, out of this universe as I am. I'm not saying that, okay? Maybe Tex Mars is way over the top. I don't know. Some people say that I am. But my wife still loves me. My mother says that I'm okay. She's 93 years old. I think around that, we just went down for her birthday party. First birthday party she's ever had, actually, my mother. 92. So she's rocking toward 93 years old. And I tell you what, she looks better than I do, I think. She's of a very sound mind. I think it's because she reads the Bible. It keeps her mind sharp. She does. She reads the Bible all the time. She enjoys it. She loves the mysteries of the Bible, too. And I think it was my mother, probably, that got me interested in Bible prophecy back when I was just a little boy. But in any case, she's a great lady. She likes politics, too. That's all she ever watches on TV. She's got her TV, and, you know, my dad died many years ago, but my mother, she'll just turn on the news and watch the news channels. And you can ask her any question about, you know, what's going on in the world, and she'll say, oh, yes, this, and she knows about the earthquakes and the typhoons and the tsunamis and the federal budget question and all kinds of things. She's a wonder to behold. So maybe I inherited a little bit of that. My father, too. You know, at the breakfast table, we argued about politics. Other people, I don't know what they were doing, but in my family, it sometimes came to knock down, and was it, what was that old saying used to be? Knock down dragouts. Yeah. Oh, yes. Knock down dragouts and all that, right around the breakfast table. I remember my older brother, He would just jump up and holler, and my dad would too. And, you know, everybody's over there fighting about politics. I was just a kid. I just wanted to eat my little cereal or whatever. We didn't have a lot of food. We were pretty poor, but I don't know, somehow or other, we were always up on politics and religion around my house. The two areas they say do not talk about. It's only going to lead you into trouble. Wanda always tells me that whenever we go, she says, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. You'll upset everybody. Then when we're leaving about 5 hours later, you know, she'll say, I told you, Tex. I told you not to talk about politics. You see what happened. I told you not to talk about religion. Yeah, she's always right, but I can't do but what I have to do. It's my job. I preach. She says, you preach everywhere. No matter where we go, you always are preaching. Yeah, well, that's Tex Mars. I'm not going to really apologize for it. I'm not. That's the way I'm made. You know, God made some people that way. That's what I'm always thinking about these things. And I love to hear from other people too, because they make me think. And I've gotten a lot of great ideas. Every once in a while, people correct me, Jerry. Jerry's my producer and broadcast engineer. Yeah, they correct me. Oh, they love to correct Tex Mars. They love it. And, you know, every once in a while, they're right, though. I have to admit it. You know, the folks out there, you know, I love the folks because, you know, they keep me straight. Boy, I tell you, if I ever did mess up, they read in the paper about Tex Mars doing something bad, I mean, it would get everywhere, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be all over the world, you know, the news of it immediately. But that's not going to happen unless it's made up, I can tell you right now. Why? Because I'm so special and perfect? No. Because many years ago, I made up my mind. You know, I made up my mind. I have the same temptations as anybody else. Of course I do. You know, I have the same flesh. But I made up my mind. My grandson and I went driving one day, and boy, they had a pretty girl standing on the corner. He was about, 13 years old. You know, 13-year-old boys, they look at girls. She was probably about 18 or 20. Oh, she was a stunner. He said, boy, she's pretty, Papa. You know, we're waiting at the red light, and she was right there on the corner. I said, yeah, she sure is. She's very pretty. I said, if you were old enough, would you like to date her? Yeah, he says. And I said, well, I'll tell you. Then I gave him a little sermon. See, I give a sermon everywhere. I said, that's okay, you know, but now when you get married, you don't be looking at these other girls, Brian. I said, you know, you don't do that now. You know, you stick with that one and you'll be a lot more happier. And I can tell you that. And I said, and it's okay even when you're older to look at the girls, but don't look too much. Don't dwell on it. You know, when you're married, you get that one. Don't get married till you find the right one that God wants you to have. Otherwise, you know, you've already started off the wrong way by disobeying God, not asking him who you should marry. So somebody asked me the other day, you know, did I think that there should be race mixing? Should a man or woman marry somebody out of their race? And I told them, you ought to marry whoever God tells you to. They said, oh, you believe in race mixing. I didn't say that. Sometimes it might be better to stay within your own culture and nation and all that, but not necessarily. You know, I still say it. Whoever God tells you to marry, marry. Can't go wrong there. Then you don't have to fight all the time, you know, about this race mixing and all this stuff. I don't worry about that. Just do what God says. You know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, okay. You can't go wrong by doing what God says. Whoever he says marry, young lady or young man, then you do that. Just make sure it's God speaking to you, because sometimes your flesh will do a lot of talking, a lot of persuading. So you make sure it's God. Okay. Let's talk a little bit. You know, Richard Nixon once said something. Richard Milhouse Nixon, President of the United States, drummed out of office, I think unfairly, not that he wasn't guilty of a few sins and crimes, but certainly he didn't do anything that Obama or Bill Clinton, or many others, George W. Bush, what a liar and a murderer he was. I think Nixon was pretty clean compared to these more modern presidents. But in any case, he said something quite interesting one time. He said, you know, the election was over, and they said, well, what are you going to do now, Mr. President? You've won the election. He said, quote, quote, politics begins the day after the elections. Oh, that was interesting. Politics begins the day after the elections. So there was the second Tuesday of November. We had our elections. But politics began the day after the elections. See, some people think it's all over. Politics ends when the people, the men and women, go into office are elected. Not so. The lobbyists don't think politics are over. The special interests don't. The Zionists certainly don't. The socialists, they say, hey, now's our opportunity. Israel, many of the Jewish organizations evidently celebrated. They said never have they had so many pro-Israel, pro-Zionist elected to office. This was the story in the Associated Press. Israel and the Jewish organization of America are delighted at this election with all the pro-Israel people that have been elected. And most of the new incoming Republicans in the House and Senate are Zionist. So they don't have a worry one. Israel and Zionism and what I call the war parties are very happy. Notice I said war parties, W-A-R parties, because both Republicans and Democrats are basically just a big bunch, a cult of warmongers. They don't know what it means when they read that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They don't know what that means. When Jesus said, you know, do not kill, or at least he believed in that. He didn't say that, but he certainly believed in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments didn't end with the writing of the Old Testament. A lot of people have written to me and said, do you think the Ten Commandments are still in effect? Well, of course they are. But we're told, you know, that all the law went out. No, we're never told that. Jesus says not one little bit of the law has passed. Now, the covenant with the physical nation of Israel, that's ended. That vanished, according to the Apostle Paul, because there was a new covenant, better covenant with Jesus. But the old, the Ten Commandments from Exodus, no. They will always be there. What Jesus said, though, was that now they're written in a man's heart. Moses brought them down from the mountain. They're written on stone tablets. Now Jesus has written the law in our hearts. In fact, Jesus Christ is the very fulfillment of the law. So, no, the law's not over with. It's just that we don't need legalism as such. Legalism can kill. The letter of the law can kill. You know, when I was an Air Force officer, I had many enlisted men come in to see me, and they needed help in a certain way. And I would go around to the base agencies and talk to the base, at the air base, different offices. And they would say, no, we can't do this, or we can't do that. We have this regulation. But you see, I had a live human being that needed help. They had a regulation. And one time, one of the officers was disputing with me and said, we're not going to do anything to help this particular airman. He had a family situation. And I said, well, I'm just going to do it without you then. They said, well, we're going to report you to the wing commander. You know, the base commander. They call him the wing commander. We're going to report you. Who do you think you are to defy an Air Force regulation? I said, well, I'm going to do it to take care of my man, my airman. I'm going to defy the law. In this particular case, see, people can't be put in the little square box when they're round sometime. So it wasn't long till I got a phone call from the wing commander. What's going on? So I told him, I have this airman. He's in a financial pickle, and we're going to do ABC to help him out. You know what the wing commander told me? He said, sounds like you're taking care of your troops. And I said, well, there is that problem with the regulation. He said, what regulation? Well, what regulation? So I went ahead and did it. Of course I did it. Because I had a good wing commander. And he knew I was a good commanding officer. And we took care of our people. And sometimes you have to wink at the regulation. Now listen, I'm not telling you to go out and sin. That's not the thing. No, 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 no. Heaven forbid. But God is pretty merciful. And he will look upon you as an individual. Is that an excuse to sin? Don't try God. Don't think so, huh? A lot of people use the liberty that is in Christ as an excuse to sin. And they make their lives very miserable in doing so. Okay, now, enough of that. Let's talk some about Obama. You know, the guy right during the, within a day or two of the elections, he goes off on a trip over to India and Indonesia. And he said he was doing it because he wanted to help Americans get jobs. Well, I don't know of any American that wants a job in India. In fact, we've been sending jobs to India for the Indian people to do. We've been outsourcing jobs. He never said anything about that. He said, I'm going to India to complain and to tell our corporations we're not going to do any more outsourcing. He didn't do that. For as I could tell, he was actually helping India to get jobs that should go to Americans. And he went over there and he danced during the Hindu festival of, you know, I don't know, Festival of Lights, as they call it, Swahili or whatever, dancing with the kids, he and Michelle. What a great bunch of fun. Yeah, sure. It said that he spent $200 million a day on this trip. Took 1,000 people with him. 1,000 people. Even some corporate chiefs with him. Then he went over to Indonesia. I think it's shameful. I mean, we have as high an unemployment rate as we have. And there Obama immediately after the election, when really he lost his shirt in the election. Let's face it. I mean, it was a repudiation of his policies. But he doesn't care to stay around and face the music. He runs off and spends hundreds of millions of dollars on some fancy trip, staying in 5-star hotels with a huge escort of Navy battleships and everything else to show the world, you know, I am Caesar or whatever. I don't know what he was doing. But it didn't go over, I don't think, with American people. They're sick of that gentleman. Now, meanwhile, we have the Fed Reserve. Well, they haven't been able to get the economy rolling. And I would think that's so. You know, after all, they've only given about up to $40 trillion to all the banks all over the world. No wonder they can't get the economy in America moving. They're giving money to banks over in China and England and everywhere else. But they've decided to print up electronically, of course. It'd take a printing house the size of Chicago or Tampa, Florida to print as much money up as they're printing, but they do it all electronically. $600 billion is going to go to buy up treasury bonds. Actually, it comes to $950 billion. They just did a little funny math. $950 billion they're spending of your money, my money. They call it quantitative easing. QE. Quantitative easing. It's really magic. Magic money. Here's how it's done. The Fed Reserve voted with, of course, Mr. Ben Bernanke as the chairman. They voted to print up this electronic money and then to buy these treasury bonds with this $950 billion. Now, the treasury bonds, what they are, is the debt of the United States. See, we're spending this year, I think, around $2 trillion more than they're bringing in taxes. We have a huge red ink flowing deficit at the federal level. How do they pay for all of these things that they're buying that they don't have money for? Well, they issue debt, treasury bonds. That's debt of the federal government. But what if the world doesn't want to buy those? the rich people. And banks around the world don't want to buy them. And they don't. Well, then the Fed is moving in and buying them itself. And it would be sort of like Wanda and I, right? We run out of money. In fact, last year, maybe we spent $50,000 more than we made. Wow, $50,000 deficit. What are we going to do about it? Don't worry, Wanda. We'll just print a bunch of money. And then the debt that we owe to the banks or to the financial institutions, we'll give them this newly printed money that we print up. And next year, if we spend $50,000 too much then, well, we'll print up $50,000 more in the next year. And then we'll just keep printing up money. We own the printing presses. It's, you know, the old saying, robbing Peter to pay Paul. But in this case, it's robbing Peter to pay Peter. It's even closer, incestual in nature in terms of money. Now, the Fed Reserve, I do appreciate Congressman Ron Paul, because Congressman Paul says we need to audit the Fed Reserve, see what they're doing with our money. Well, Ron, I think I know what they're doing with our money. I think the people do, too. But you see, the reason this won't work is Bernie Madoff had an auditor, too, who dutifully gave him a statement and said, yeah, we've audited you. You're in good shape. Perfect. But he wasn't. It was a Ponzi scheme, and he had ripped people off, you know, anywhere from $60 to $90 billion. One man, Bernie Madoff, who, by the way, was head of the American Jewish Congress, one of the top Jewish lobby groups. That's what made him so dangerous. People believed in him. But he had an auditor. Now, Congressman Ron, if you were sitting here, and he's from Texas, maybe he'll drop by and see me. I'd like to chat with Ron about this. I like Ron Paul. I know he's sort of coddled up to the Masons a little bit and a few things, and to the homos. You know, I'd like to talk to him about those things too, but as far as the Constitution goes and the Fed and everything, he's on the right track. He's against unconstitutional wars in the Middle East. I like that. He's for ending the federal deficit. He's for having real money rather than all this, you know, Fed Reserve certificates we've got. Okay, I like Ron Paul for those things. But the problem is Ron says we need to audit the Fed. The real question, Ron Paul, is this. Who would do the auditing? Enron was audited every year. They went out of business. Bear Stearns was audited. Lehman Brothers was audited. You know, anyone can pay an auditor to keep quiet and cover up. So an auditor is not the answer. Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, when he was president of the United States, 1832 to what, 1840, I think it was. He had the right idea. Somebody reminded me not too long ago that Andrew Jackson, if you visit his gravesite, do you know what the words are on his tombstone are? I killed the bank. You see, Andrew Jackson gave a speech, and I believe it was in his inaugural speech, and he said that the bankers are nothing but a bunch of vipers and snakes, and with God's help, I'm going to rout them out. Boy, wouldn't you love to see Obama say that? You bankers are nothing but a bunch of vipers and snakes, and I'm going to rout you out with God's help. Barack Obama got elected, turned around and gave 26 something trillion dollars, and that was as of 2 years ago when he first took office. After the first 6 months, according to Mr. Byrevsky of the Congressional Auditing Office, the Fed and the Treasury had already passed out $26.3 trillion the first year of Obama's in office to the banks. Free money. They're not even paying interest on it. The government gave it to them. They're supposed to pay it back, but they charge you interest, but they don't have to charge any interest. I'd like to do that. I'd like to go to the bank and say I'd like to borrow $1 million at no interest. Then I can turn around and give you cheap loans because I'm not paying anything. This is what he did for the banks. Now, there was a U.S. National Bank at the time, which is the equivalent of today's Fed Reserve system. President Andrew Jackson saw this as a ploy by Rothschild and the bankers, and he went after it. And did you know they cheated him in the Electoral College the first time he ran for president? They cheated him. He won the popular vote, but he lost the electoral vote. So he ran again. This time he told the people, you're going to have to give me a big landslide so they can't cheat me this time. And boy, the second time he ran, a huge vote slide for him. He said he wanted to be for the people. You know, all these presidents, they have these little T's and the presidential parties you go to. And at the White House, you dress in tuxedos and party gowns that cost, you know, $20,000. You know, this designer, Bill Blass or Cartier or whoever makes your designer gowns. And you have to be a rich person to go to the White House to one of these inaugural parties. Andrew Jackson said, hey, the White House is the people's house. I invite everybody. He opened the doors. He said, I'm not going to send out fancy invitations to the rich, to the powerful. And you know, they had people that came in wagon trains and on horseback, and many of them still smell because they hadn't even taken baths yet off the trail. They wore coonskin caps and all kind of stuff. And the society ladies in Washington, D.C. were just scandalized. Ooh. These poor beggars from off the streets are going into the White House. That's what Jackson wanted. This is not the rich people's house. It's the people of America's house, the White House. But I like that. In his inaugural address, he said, there's two things I want to see happen. First, I want the Electoral College to be abolished. Well, they didn't do that. The second thing he said, I want the National Bank, the Fed Reserve equivalent, to be abolished. And boy, he went after them. You know, Congress was so embarrassed and so frightened at his popularity, they ended the bank. And we didn't have another bank. I think it was all the way up until, I can't even remember, but I think it was all the way up to Woodrow Wilson era when we finally got the Fed Reserve Board. But I love that. On his tombstone, inscribed are the words, I killed the bank. He loved it. I kill the bank. Now, Abraham Lincoln wanted to prosecute the Civil War, the war between the states, the war to end slavery, whatever you want to call it. And he said, you know, we need money for this war. And he appointed a man to do some checking to find out how he could get more money. And he came back and says, all you have to do is issue it. And so the greenback was invented or manufactured. And it was by the power of the U.S. government. The U.S. Treasury put out the greenbacks. And Lincoln was able to fight his war with greenbacks. And the banks were furious about it. They had been putting out the paper money. Suddenly, Abe Lincoln says the federal government, the Treasury, is going to do that. And we don't have to pay interest on it. And JFK did the same thing. He said, why should we have these Fed Reserve notes? Let's put out silver certificates guaranteed by the U.S. Treasury. Within months, he was dead, assassinated. They hated Jackson. Lincoln was assassinated, maybe because he put out greenbacks. So Ron Paul, it won't do any good to audit the Fed. We got to kill the Fed. If you can kill the Fed, Ron Paul, maybe on your gravestone, I'll pay for the words to be inscribed on the granite. I, Ron Paul, killed the Fed. Now, wouldn't that be a hoot? This is Tex Mars. You listen to Power Props. We have a lot more for you when we come back. Want to talk about California going belly up. Oh, only if it could happen. Oil from China, housing foreclosures, Mr. Weepy Boehner. We'll talk about that. The Tea Parties, what they really want, immigration reform, and much more. Stay with us. This is Power of Prophecy. Everything they ever told me was a lie. It's the title of the new book by my good friend Pat Shannon, who's a writer and reporter for the American Free Press. You know, we had a conference here in Austin, Texas, that was co-sponsored by the American Free Press and their newspaper and Power of Prophecy Ministries. And I was very pleased to have Pat Shannon here as one of the speakers at that conference. And as always, he speaks from knowledge. He's one of America's premier investigators and researchers. He used to be with Media Bypass magazine. Remember that one? He was their ace reporter, you might call it, investigator. Now he's with American Free Press, but he's written this book, and I like the title of it, Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie, by Pat Shannon. It's around 280-some-odd pages long, and we're offered it here in the ministry for $25. Please add $5 shipping and handling. And, you know, I took this home with me over this last week and was reading the book, and it's, you know, it's everything that I'm interested in. Maybe you too. It does cover everything, but whereas the government lied to us about it, Pat Shannon tells the truth. And I'm going to have Pat Shannon here as my guest in maybe another several weeks because the book is so fascinating. He really talks about Barack Obama. Is he really a usurper? The moon landing hoax. Did we really land on the moon in 1969? Ronald Reagan is always, you know, mentioned as the greatest, one of the greatest of presidents and everything. But, well, Pat Shannon says there's another Ronald Reagan we may not know about. He also takes a second look at Honest Abe Lincoln. Then Franklin Roosevelt. The assassinations. Now, here's one area where he excels. He's gone down and he's done all this research, and I think he's probably one of the best researchers ever on the Martin Luther King assassination. James Earl Ray, did he really kill Martin Luther King? Well, he may have been part of it, but believe me, Pat Shannon can tell you some things you've never heard about. There's the John Hinckley shooting of Ronald Reagan. Then it turns out that John Hinckley's father was connected with George Herbert Walker Bush, who was the vice president. Maybe old George Bush thought he was going to be the president early that day, huh? Well, it didn't happen, of course, and Reagan recovered. But what's the Hinckley connection with George Herbert Walker Bush? Then, of course, the Clintons killed one of their best pals, Vincent Foster. Well, that's what Pat Shannon says, and there's evidently reason to believe that. Tim McVeigh, yes, he was part of a government black ops operation. Tim McVeigh of the Oklahoma City bombing. You'll want to read about that. And George Wallace, remember him, governor of Alabama? I always found him sort of charming in a certain sort of way. I always liked it when he talked about, you know, what he asked a question, George Wallace, when he was running for president. He said, I wonder what's in those briefcases of those bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. He said, I bet if you open up, there's nothing in there but peanut butter sandwiches. Peanut butter sandwiches and jelly. He said, if I'm elected president, I'm going to take all the briefcases from the bureaucrats and throw them in the Potomac River. I like that colorful language, you know. And, you know, he may have. I don't know. May have done that. Except he got shot in the back and paralyzed and in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. Arthur Brimmer, a guy did it, has a very interesting background you'll want to read. They were worried George Wallace was going to take office. He was getting very popular, and he was maybe going to become president of the United States. Maybe those bureaucrats didn't want their briefcases opened up. Maybe they had a little bit more than the peanut butter and jam sandwiches. I don't know. Then there was, of course, Lyndon Johnson and his mistress, Madeline. Oh, you didn't know he had a mistress? Well, Pat Shannon will tell you about it. And how Lyndon Johnson told her the night before JFK was dead that we're going to see a change of government. I'm going to be president. How did he know? Well, there were two Oswalds, Lee Harvey Oswald. There was another one. If you haven't studied that, that's a real interesting thing. Then most recently we had the NFL football star Pat Tillman, who volunteered to go over to Afghanistan, ended up shot by American forces. They knew who he was. They murdered him. And his father, you know, there's a long string of profanity that he hurled at George W. Bush. And he returned the medal Bush had given his son posthumously. Pat Tillman's father, he knows they murdered his son. They know. There's Robert F. Kennedy assassinated. Who really did it? Was it Sirhan, or someone else? Then, of course, the classic 9/11, an inside job, says Pat Shannon. You can tell all these things are covered in this fantastic book, Everything They told me was a lie. By the way, this is volume one. Evidently, Pat's going to put out volume two. I can't wait for that one. Meanwhile, you can get this one. It's hot off the press. We got some of the first books. You know, we were waiting at the front door of the printing press and give it to us, and we have them right here. It may not even be available, I don't think, on Amazon.com or those other places. And I don't know if the Barnes & Noble and the big bookstores dare put it on their shelves. But we've got it. Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie by Pat Shannon. The Irishman Who Tells the Truth. S-H-A-N-N-A-N. Pat Shannon. For $25, and it's worth every penny, believe me. And $5 shipping and handling. $30. Write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, and say, hey, Tex, send me that book by Shannon. We'll know what you're talking about. I've got the smartest people here. They're smarter than me. They figure out your notes, your letters. They do. They're good here. You can phone up to and say, there's a book by a guy named Shannon. Think it's something about everything they told me or whatever. They'll know. See, we're not expecting everything. We're like God. He knows we're not perfect. I've always loved 1 John, where John tells us that God is faithful and God is just and he's merciful. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I've always liked that. But if you say you don't have any sin, then the truth is not in you. Wow. God is faithful and just and will cleanse us of our sins if we just ask him. And if we really mean it and we're truly sorrowful, we're repentant. He's not just going to be a mean, cruel God and say, well, I don't care how much you beg me. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm going to punish you, boy. I'm going to punish you, girl. That's not God. Now, again, I know some of you are going to write to me and say, Tex, you're telling everybody they can go out and sin. And as long as they go to confession on Sunday or something, they'll be forgiven. I didn't say that. You know, you read the Bible and there's consequences of sin, for one thing. Consequences of sin. A lot of people on death row right now say that after they committed their horrible act of murder, they became Christians. But they're still on death row. And I believe if you really do become a Christian, then your conscience really does haunt you. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, it's all cast out. You know, you don't have to worry about it anymore. That's not true. If you cheat people, you're a crook, you're a fraud, it's going to weigh heavily on you the rest of your life. I'm telling you, friends. And listen to me, husband, you cheat on your wife, it's going to weigh on you. If you're a Christian man, it's going to weigh on you. So don't do it. Wife, same thing goes for you. Well, okay, I didn't mean to preach a sermon. Wanda's right, Jerry. I can't help but preach a sermon. You know, we started BibleHomeChurch.org. We have some sermons on there. But today we're talking about the 2010 elections and what we're going to do now. Okay, so the book is Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie by Pat Shannon, a wonderful book. $30 total. Sounds like a lot, and it is. You know, things just cost more now. They do. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk to you about here in just a minute. But anyway, here's the book. Call us during the work week, 1-800, toll-free, 234-9673, 1-800-234-9673. And as always, when you order anything from us, a tape, you can order the tape of this program today, order this book, and we will give you a 6-month free subscription to our newsletter. Of course, you can read it free just going online too. There's our feature article every month and other materials and videos and things free of charge. We never charge you for going on our website. It's always going to be free. BibleHomeChurch.org. You want to listen to this week's sermon? It's there. You want to listen to the tape of this program free? You can do so. Or you can order your own CD or audio tape from us for $8 plus $5 shipping and handling of today's program where we're talking about the 2010 elections are over. What now? This book, again, $30 postpaid. They'll get it right out to you. We have a number of copies. And Pat has assured us he'll print up more if we need them. And I think we're going to need them because this is a great book. All right. Again, our address is 1708 Patterson Road. If you want to write to us and ask for the book, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. Of course, you can go to powerofprophecy.com, our website, and the book. If it's not up yet, it probably will very soon have a picture of it up. And you can click on that picture and get it. order the book from us here at powerofprophecy.com. Use your charge card, your PayPal, or whatever, and buy it from powerofprophecy.com. Now let's return to their regular program. We're talking about the 2010 elections. What now? The Republicans have won a sweeping victory, but what's going on? Well, no sooner were the elections over than we heard from that bipartisan committee that's looking into our federal debt. Has two co-chairmen. One is Erskine Bowles, who was one of Clinton's top advisors in the White House, and also Senator Alan Simpson, the nincompoop, totally oblivious to truth senator from former senator, now he's retired from Wyoming. Senator Simpson is, all I can say is, you don't want me to tell you what I think about the guy, but he was always a nut when he was in Congress, and now he's co-chairman of this committee, but he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, and I guess that's why Obama appointed him to this commission. And they've come out with a list of things that they believe Congress ought to cut. For example, I told you, they want to cut entitlements, Social Security and Medicare. They want to raise the retirement age for Social Security. They want to cut the benefits. They also, if you have a mortgage on your home, they want to take away the right for you to deduct the mortgage interest. And there's a range of other things they would like to do, take away from you and me. I think they want to start taxing your Social Security benefits. And if you're paying into a health care plan, you know, Obama, they passed a law that makes everybody, forces them to get a health care plan. In the old system, the way it exists now, before the Obamacare plan was passed, the money that you pay for health care through your employer, you don't have to pay taxes on to the federal government. Well, Simpson and Erskine and their little bipartisan commission on the federal debt, they would like to take away that right, and so now you have to pay taxes on your payments to your health care plan. Basically, they should have named the commission the National Commission to Shaft the Working Man and Woman. That would have been a more appropriate name. Now, I want to tell you again that everywhere you turn, I listen to every news channel, and they're all talking about how we're going to solve the federal deficit. And there's one uppermost thing on all of their minds, Republicans and Democrats. They're saying the only thing we can do to save money at the federal level is to have big cuts in Social Security and Medicare. Now, keep in mind that George W. Bush went into this totalization program in which all of the illegal aliens can now get Social Security and Medicare. If we just cut out the illegal aliens from getting it, that would save us tens of billions. But they don't want to do that. They're going to give Social Security and Medicare to all the other people that are going to be rushing into America. Of course, they won't be illegal aliens anymore because Obama and the Democrats and the Republicans, yes, Mr. Boehner, he would like to pass a new immigration reform bill that will allow a fast track to citizenship. I think it's called Hand Me the Rubber Stamp, Bubby. And that's what they mean by making them citizens. In the old days, you used to take a test. Now they say, look at me. Are you alive? Yes. Okay, Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. Gomez, you passed the test. You're a citizen of the United States. And by the way, do you know who George Washington is? No, senor, I don't know. Exactly. That's correct. All right, you're a citizen of the United States. Oh, my. I was watching Fox News night before last. And Greta, you know, Greta Sestrin on the Greta Show. She says, well, the Tea Parties have come up with their list of 10 things that they want. Now, first of all, I thought that was quite interesting because I thought the Tea Parties were all independent. How did they get them all together? How did they get all the millions of people's Tea Party to come up with an agenda of 10 things that they want to see happen in Congress? And in this next 2 years. Well, they didn't. It's all made up. It's all fabricated. It was a list of 10 things that the Tea Parties won't. That was made up by Republicans and Democrats. The elite made up the list, and they say, here's what the Tea Parties won't. They're a bunch of liars. But in any case, number one on the list was cut entitlements. Now, if you're a member of one of these Tea Parties, You've been going to all their group meetings. You might be surprised to know that according to Fox News and the other channels, news channels, your number one priority is to cut Social Security and Medicare for the working people, the former working people. Shaft the older Americans and the future retired Americans. That's what the Tea Parties want most of all. What a bunch of liars those people are. I don't think most Tea Party people had any idea they were going to try to cut entitlements. But you see, Tea Party folks, I warned you. I wrote a newsletter that I warned you before the elections. I said, here's the deal. If you Tea Party people run around and saying, cut the budget, slash federal spending, solve the budget deficit problem, they will do it. They'll take away something from you. There's still going to be foreign aid to Israel, foreign aid to Egypt, foreign aid to 30 other countries. They're still going to fund through the National Science Foundation. They're going to give $1 million to study the sex life of the tsetse fly. You think I'm kidding? I think there really was a $1 million research program called the sex life of the tsetse fly. Now, you may not be interested in the sex life of the tsetse fly. I'm not. But somebody is, and they got the federal government to fund it. As a matter of fact, there was another project. They're spending over $500,000 to study, do cows burping cause global warming? Well, everybody knows that's so. Of course they do. Haven't you ever driven down a road sometime in the country, some pasture land, there's five or six cows over there burping? Isn't it at least 5 or 6 degrees hotter in that area just because they're over there burping? I know that. I mean, it's blistering hot when I ride by a pasture with several cows on it. Have you ever gone in a barn where there's milk cows, 3 or 4 milk cows? Why, it's at least 20 degrees hotter in there because of their burping. Well, I knew that. They didn't have to pay me. Of course, maybe I need to be locked away in a loony bin, too, for just saying that. And by the way, I do have my tongue firmly in my cheek. Idiots, idiocracy. There's a movie not too long ago called Idiocracy, talking about the idiots in government. And it's pretty well accurate. Well, there are some idiots over in California. Now, folks, if you're from California, you can get mad at me all you want to. It's not your fault. I know. You didn't vote for Barbara Boxer. You didn't vote for Jerry Brown. But they got reelected. Barbara Boxer, the Jewish Zionist wacko, she's still senator. Now, think about this. I don't know how you feel about it, but a billionaire woman, Meg Whitman, you know she wouldn't steal from you because she don't care. She's already got her billions. One of the founders of eBay, one of the largest internet corporations in the world, ran for governor, but she got beat by Mr. Baldy, Jerry Brown. Oh, my goodness. I saw Schwarzenegger. He's the outgoing governor. On Jay Leno, I was flipping channels and he was there and I didn't really want to pay much attention to it. So I just flipped on past, but he was guest of Jay Leno. I'm sure they had a good time together, Schwarzenegger and Jay Leno. The next day, though, I read the headline as to what he said. He said, you know, it's true that the people of California voted against making all the pot, you know, marijuana illegal. But, said the governor, nobody, the police in California and me as governor, we don't care if people want to smoke pot. Go ahead and do it. He was inviting the people. Go ahead and do it. Don't bother us any. We're not going to arrest anybody for smoking a little pot. It's California. Well, you know, the whole assembly, the whole legislature is a bunch of potheads. Let's face it. Or worse. But they say California only, you know, they're fixing to go bankrupt. Their pension fund for their state employees is behind billions and billions of dollars. They have no money to pay utilities. Evidently, Schwarzenegger ordered that state parks, the restrooms in the state parks, not buy toilet paper anymore. They can't afford to buy toilet paper for their public park restrooms. Wow. Well, I guess you can bring a newspaper or something with you if you're going to visit the park, picnic area. Bring your own newspaper. They're not going to have any toilet paper in the restrooms. They don't have any money for it. Now, Barbara Boxer is constantly one of the biggest spenders in Congress. And Democrats run everything in California. It's bankrupt. Now, some people say, well, is the state just going to close down? No. Obama will find money for them. Congress is going to take care of them, and they know that's the problem. If the state really did go bankrupt, they had to lay off millions of workers, if they had to close all the government offices, we'd be better off. Now, the workers wouldn't. I feel sorry for them. But the more federal and state employees that are let off, the more we're better off. And if looking bankruptcy right in the face, the voters of California still gave us Jerry Brown, liberal Democrat, Barbara Boxer, senator, liberal Democrat, why should we care? They keep voting the big spenders back in. Why should we rescue them? Well, we shouldn't. But believe me, California is not going to go bankrupt. They're going to bail it out, just like they bailed out the banks. We just can't let our biggest state go belly up. Well, how would that look to the rest of the world? I think it'd look pretty good to most Americans. You know, isn't there some slogan they give you on TV now? Do the crime, do the time. They've done the crime in California, the Democrats. So do the time. Suffer. And maybe you folks that can get out of California, I recommend you get out. The last time I visited Los Angeles, I couldn't see any native-born Americans there. I don't think they have any. Maybe in the outer limits or something. They're out in the little neighborhoods and little bitty towns outside of the main area. But everywhere I went were people that couldn't even speak English. You go in a store and ask them a question, no habla inglés. But they weren't just Mexicans. They were from everywhere. I mean, they were from, goodness gracious. I don't even know all the countries in the world where all those people were from. And they love the Democrats because the Democrats are going to give them more and more goodies, all these foreigners. I say, cut them off. I'd like to know what you think. You know, the porno kings are right there in Los Angeles. The porno kings, Hollywood, the drugs, the gangs. They're not worried about going bankrupt. They know the federal government's going to step in. It shouldn't, but it will. What else is going to happen? Food prices going through the roof. Now, here's something I am genuinely angry about. Are you on Social Security? For the second straight year, they have decided not to give Social Security people an increase in their Social Security payment. They say you don't need it because the cost of living hasn't gone up. Nonsense. Friends, I watch the stock market. I watch the world markets and commodities very close. And take it from Tex Mars. Corn has gone up 47%. Cotton has gone up 103%. Sugar has gone up 112%. Every commodity, coffee, rice, soybeans, it's all going through the roof. What's going on? They're telling us that there's no inflation. Meanwhile, the Fed Reserve is pumping all this money into the system to create inflation. They say they're reflating the economy, reflation. Food prices are astronomical. Now, I'm a military retiree, and I get a small pension from the military, not a lot. Guess what? For the second year in a row, I didn't get an increase. Why, they say there's no inflation in America. Anybody who's gone to your local food store knows that's a lie. A pound of coffee, a half gallon of milk, eggs, bacon, some detergent. You know what I'm talking about. All the prices keep going up, and the boxes are manufactured to be smaller, so you don't realize you're getting less of products. Now, back to the Republicans. What are they going to do? They say they're going to repeal Obamacare, but there's Obama to veto the bill, even if it could pass the Senate, which I doubt. So we're stuck with Obamacare. Well, maybe after two more years, we'll get another president. But you know, I just have this intuition that there are a lot of Republicans who are socialists too, and they secretly want Obamacare. They do. They secretly want it. They're happy with it. It'll change America. Don't look for Obamacare to be repealed. Now, they're going to say we need immigration reform. But don't worry. I will not vote for, I know my own congressman, my own senator, John Cornyn. He wrote a letter to a friend of mine, and they sent me the letter. And he says, yes, I am for immigration reform because I believe we need a guest worker program. That's malarkey. But then the second thing he said was, but don't worry, I'm also for tougher enforcement at the border. Now, this is what they think they're going to fool you with, see. When you write to your congressman and say, what do you think about the illegal immigrants coming to America? They write you back and say, yes, indeed, I am for tougher enforcement of the border. Well, I'd like to see 1.5 more border guards. Well, they don't say 1.5, but that's about the limit. I'd like to see 1.5 more border guards at the border. Oh, yes, and I think we ought to build that wall that's we haven't built. We've been promising you for all those years. But I'm for tougher enforcement. I'm really, really hard on those illegal aliens. Baloney. If they're for immigration reform, therefore, tens of millions more illegal aliens pouring across the borders. Don't let them fool you. Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck said, no, we're for tougher enforcement. We need to solve this immigration problem. Of course, I'm for, says Bill O'Reilly, says Glenn Beck, I am for guest workers. Now, that sounds good. You see, here's the way they say it. We'll bring in millions of guest workers just to work the fields. Then after they harvest the fields, they'll all go home. I'm for guest worker programs. Do you really think they're going to go home? They are home. They're here. Talk to the millions of Mexicans. They're going to say, well, we owned the Southwest. We owned Texas and California, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada before you American gringos did. This is our country. They ain't leaving, to use my Texas vernacular. They not leaving. They're not leaving, folks. You invite them over here as a guest worker. They're not guests. As Benjamin Franklin said, after 3 days, a guest stinketh. That's true. You know, you like to see guests come, your family or whatever. But after about 3 days, you're saying, you know, I wish they'd leave. I love them, but I got my own life to live. Well, okay. 2010 elections are over, but we're going to have to fight hard to save our Social Security system so the elite won't take all our money and give it to the bankers. We're going to have to fight for it. We have worked hard for Social Security and Medicare. Maybe there should have never been a system. Maybe it is a big Ponzi scheme, but let's send the Bernie Madoffs off to prison that invented it. Meanwhile, let's make them pay every cent that we put in plus interest if they want to end it. Food prices demand that they give Social Security, military retiree, and others an increase. They can do it. Obama can do it. The Congress can do it. And 51% of our federal budget is spent on worthless, futile, bloody wars. Stop the wars. Stop the killing. Stop killing people for Israel. How about being America first one time? We have troops in 130 countries. Bring them all home. Put them on the border to enforce the borders. And I want to say one more thing while I'm at it. I feel a little George Wallace-y today. Every limo, when you go to Washington, D.C., there's a limousine on every corner with all the diplomats and congressmen riding around and all the bureaucrats. I say take every limo in Washington, D.C. and sell them at auction and make them take the city bus. That's right. Make the congressmen and the bureaucrats, make them take the city buses. I mean, you don't get a limo with a bar full of liquor in the back seat, do you? Is that how you go to work every morning? I don't think so. I don't have one. Let the congressmen, and there's, what about these Air Force jets they're riding around on? No. I say they can go coach class like the rest of us. I've got a lot more suggestions like that. I just feel a little Andrew Jackson-y today. I'd like to say, I killed the limos. That would be on my tombstone. I killed the limos. This is Tex Mars. It's been a great pleasure being with you today. A real pleasure. And my fervent prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.